What a beautiful special music. I can't beat that. I've got nothing better than that this morning, but we're going to go through the Word of God this morning. And if you're visiting with us or you're a guest, we're continuing our summer sermon series on I Love the 80s, as you just heard, with a top song of 1985. Was We Are the World by USA for Africa. Some of you probably remember that. A lot of different artists sang that. The Live Aid concerts that came through that, worldwide, they raised $125 million to aid Ethiopia. Remember, Ethiopia was going through that famine and everything in 1985. The average cost of a new house in 1985 was $89,330. The average income per year in 1985 was $22,100. The average price for a new car was $9,000, and a gallon of gas was $1.09 in 1985. A movie ticket cost you $2.75, and a U.S. postage stamp was again 22 cents. Bacon was $1.65 a pound. A beanbag lounger. Many of you had those in your homes in the 80s. That was $39.99 to have in your home in 1985. And a Rainbow Bright Color Kids. They were $9.99 each. And a ribeye steak. I like this one. The ribeye steak was $3.89 back in 1985 per pound. Some of the top things that happened in 1985, like I mentioned, the Live Aid concert raised $125 million. The Coca-Cola company introduced New Coke. I remember some people got very angry about that. They liked their classic Coke. The popular comic strip Calvin and Hobbes debuted in newspapers in 1985. Route 66 was removed from the United States highway system in 1985. Mikhail Gorbachev became the Soviet leader in 85, and Nintendo released the Nintendo Entertainment System in North America in 1985. Michael Jordan was named the NBA's Rookie of the Year in 1985. Mafia boss Paul Castellano is shot on orders by John Gotti in 1985. Microsoft Corporation released the first version of Windows. Windows 1.0 was released in 1985. Back to the Future was released in theaters in 1985. Many of you remember that movie. And the Titanic, I thought this was interesting. The Titanic was found for the first time 370 miles from Newfoundland in 1985, buried deep in the ocean. So those are some of the fun facts of 1985. I was, I think I was a junior higher in 1985. So I grew up in the 80s. So it was a fun time for me. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalms 85 this morning. And again, this is a very uplifting, very encouraging psalm. And a psalm that begs us some questions for us to ask ourselves. From day to day, if not week by week. Psalm 85. You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Excuse me, I've got a summer cold or allergies or something going on this morning, but we're going to get through this. First question that pops up in this psalm, beautiful psalm written to God. asking a lot for mostly for revival, for God to restore his people, for God to revive his people. And the psalmist reminds us right away to ask, you know, what has God done? The first three verses is a very good reminder of what has God done for us lately? What has God done in my life that has caused me to serve him, to follow him, to accept him, to make him Lord? And verse 1 through 3 right there reminds us, in the face of wickedness, God still loves us. What a blessing we receive from God. Each and every day, in the face of wickedness, no matter what's going on, when we turn away from him, when we choose wickedness, when we choose evil, when we choose to go our own way, verse 1 says, you showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. In the face of wickedness, God still chooses to love me. If that doesn't make us wake up each and every morning with a reminder of who it is we are serving, why we are serving him. Number one reason on the list of thousands of things God has done, despite who I am, despite my ugliness on the inside or who I think I am, God chooses to love me and still chooses to use me today. Despite my shortcomings, despite my maybe doing things under my own understanding sometimes instead of just following him and trusting in him, despite me sometimes wanting to steal a little bit of that glory, get a little attaboy every once in a while, God still chooses to use me. God still chooses to love me. Pay attention to verse 2 there. You see a word, if you have your Bibles, anybody see that word that's kind of off to the side? Selah, S-E-L-A-H. You know what that word means? In verse 2, he's reading, you showed favor in your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. And then there's that word, Selah. That means pause. In the psalm, in the song, or whatever, that means pause. Think about it for a second. That's literally what that means. Think about it. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. The writer of this psalm is asking us, pause, think about that for just a half a second. What has God done for you? He not only forgave your sins, he covered your sin. Your sin is no longer visible. Your sin no longer exists in the eyes of God. He covered that for you. He paid for it for you. Your sin, your debt has been covered. Your bill has been paid. It is no longer belongs to you. He forgave iniquity. He's calling us to think about that for just a minute. I hope we don't go by one day without remembering the great price God paid for us. That's why we celebrate communion every Sunday. Every week when we gather here together, we are reminded at least once in the week, God covered my sin. God paid the price for my iniquity. That and that alone causes me to want to worship him with my life. He forgave our iniquity. How? Through Jesus Christ. Does the world know that through you? When you live a life of freedom, you are not free just because you are a citizen of the United States. And yes, we have men and women who paid a very high price for our earthly freedom. The things we get to enjoy on a daily basis, the freedom of speech. If it wasn't for men and women in the armed services, I wouldn't be able to stand at this pulpit right now and freely speak to you about the love of Christ. Yes, we have those freedoms. And thank you, Lord, for those men and women who provided that. But Jesus Christ provided eternal freedom. Freedom from guilt, freedom of sin, so that we have full peace with God the Father. God's love is without end. How do we know that? because he loves us today. Look at your whole life and all the ways you've probably offended God from the time you were a teenager till up to today. Maybe even just this past week. How many times have we offended God, gone our own way, turned our back on him? And he still says, I love you, and I wouldn't do a thing different for you. How many times have we turned away from him, and he still says, I would still give my son up for you again today. I would still put my son's life on the line for you today. His love has no end. There is nothing you can do on planet Earth that is going to make him stop loving you. That is a lot of love. What has God done for you lately? He's loved you beyond human understanding. He freely gave us his son. You ever think about that? That word selah, pause, and think about that. How many of you would give up one of your children for one of your enemies? Don't forget, you were once an enemy of God's. He gave his son to you, for you, to save you. Could any of us do that freely, truthfully? God gave his son for you. That should completely change how we see the whole world, how we do things, how we react to things, how we talk about things. That and that alone. And through this gift of Jesus Christ, freedom has been granted. In the face of deserving judgment, the psalmist reminds us, God still loves us. Don't allow anyone or anything to ever let you question that, and the enemy will want you to question that. You don't understand, Joel. You don't know how far away I ran from God when I was in my 20s. You have no idea of what I've done in my marriage, Joel. There is no way God can still love me. Yes. If he doesn't, then he's a liar. And we can't trust anything that he says. God says, yes, I do love you. And yes, I still would put my life on the line for you. Selah, that word Selah, pause. Think about what has God done for you. I love Jonah chapter 3, verse 9. I don't know really if Jonah, obviously it's a book of prophecy a little bit. And we, you know, the story of Jonah and the great whale or the great fish. I love these words of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, verse 9. How prophetic. It says, who knows? Jonah's saying this. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. How prophetic was that? Jonah even knew the heart of God. Jonah turned, literally turned from God and went the opposite direction. And even Jonah knew the heart of God and said, you know, who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. He knew how loving God was. Thousands of years before Jesus walked the face of the earth. What has God done for you? Verses 1 through 3. He has loved you beyond human recognition. Number 2. Verses 4 through 7 reminds us the question, what do we need? We know that we have an all-loving God. And we know that we need food, shelter, water, clothing to survive here on planet Earth. But what do we need today, spiritually? Verses 4 through 7 is a huge reminder. Verse 4 reminds us that we need restoration today. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. Restore us again. That word again is huge, which means we needed restored before. Buildings need restored from time to time because they get old, they start to crumble. Relationships, friendships, they get restored. I have friends from high school I hadn't seen for 20-some years. And sometimes I get reconnected with them. We go to lunch or whatever. It's like, man, that relationship is just restored again. It's like we're back as teenagers or in our 20s and having fun and enjoying each other's company again. Relationships get restored. Marriages get restored sometimes. Finances get restored. Things need restored from time to time. And the psalmist is reminding us, we need restoration. We need God to do some restoration on us again and again sometimes if it's required. And God knows that. We're human beings. As much as we know the heart of God that's been revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, God knows our hearts. And He knows our human hearts are wicked. That's why He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts, not our own nature. But He knows from time to time we need restoration. Psalms 51, verse 12, the psalmist cries out, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me that joy." Sometimes we lose that joy. Why? We let life circumstances rob us of that joy. Through death, through the loss of a job, through frustration, through natural disasters. I just went through a whole seminar yesterday about natural disasters with Keith and Ed and Stephen. And talking about some of that, I can get pretty depressing, and I haven't even been through a natural disaster. I lost a little bit of joy there yesterday. You think if you lose your whole home to a fire, to an earthquake, to a tornado, whatever, that's going to rob you of a little bit of joy. God says, I can restore that. Ask me. I'll restore your joy because my joy doesn't come from earthly things. My joy comes from within and overflows through you, and it becomes addictive and attractive to other people. Verse 5 says, not only do we need restoration, we need forgiveness on a daily basis. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Father, we need forgiven. Don't stay angry at me. Yes, your sins have been covered by Jesus Christ. The sins of your past, the sins today, and the sins of however long you're going to be here on planet Earth, those sins are forgiven when you belong to Jesus Christ. But we need to acknowledge each and every day to God, I need your forgiveness again. I messed up again. Because when we do that, when we communicate that with God and we recognize our sin, man, that draws us close to God. When that forgiveness and that grace is renewed in us each and every day, man, there's power in that. There's strength in that that the enemy doesn't want you to have. The enemy doesn't want you to recognize sin for what it is and the forgiveness and the grace that is given to you. He doesn't want you to recognize that because it brings power to you. Acts 10:43 says, all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Daily. Not only do we need to ask, what has God done? What do I need from you, Father, first and foremost? Before I can do anything today, I again need your forgiveness. I need a clean slate today, Father. Perfect in your sight, I need your grace. So that I can do what you've called me to do and be who you've called me to be today. And number 6, this is a big one. Verse 6, I mean. Verse 6 reminds us that we need, not only do we need restoration, not only do we need forgiveness, we need revival. It says, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? This is the first use of the word revival, or revive, in the Old Testament. Psalms 85, verse 6. It's the first time you're going to see that word revive in the Old Testament. Revival means to nourish up, preserve alive. And it specifically deals with God's people. And hear this, you cannot revive something that has never been alive before. There's a recognition there that I was made alive in you, God. and there's something going on in my life, or there's something that's happened, maybe it's sin or whatever, that I've allowed to die a little bit inside. Maybe my faith in you has died a little bit. Maybe my relationship with you has died a little bit. Maybe my excitement since the day I came forward, gave my life to you, and the day I was baptized, man, I was excited. I was on fire. My light was bright for you, and I've let that die out, Father, because of life situations, just because of a lack of faith, lack of being in your word, whatever the case may be. Father, I need beyond restoration. I need revived. I need you to once again shine bright in me. Show me again, Father. Remind me again of what you do, what you have done, and what I need from you each and every day. I need your revival, God. And verse 7 reminds us, we need love and we need salvation. That's not a very manly thing to ask for. There's a pride issue sometimes, and men especially don't like to ask for love. And we don't like to ask that we need to be saved from something. We don't need to be saved from being lost. I know where I'm going. I don't need directions. I know how to put this together. I don't need directions. We don't like to admit when we're lost in something. God reminds us, oh yes, you do. You need to be loved. Because without my love, you can't be who I've called you to be. Without my salvation, you cannot go where I want you to go. Men and ladies, we need to be reminded of that daily as we lift our voices to God in praise, as we lift our hands to God in praise, as we lift our service to God in praise. We need to acknowledge, today, Father, I need another big dose of your love. I need another big dose of your salvation. And to be reminded that, because we have no idea what's going to happen today. Father, I need your strength for no matter what happens in the world today. This year, we've been hit by a lot of big things in our church family, and we don't know what's going to happen. We've been hit by death. We've been hit by loss. We've been hit by a misunderstanding on things. We just get hit by a lot of things. And without our daily dose of God's love, God's strength, and the assurance of his salvation, we would never get through the things that God allows us to get through. What a beautiful psalm that reminds us of what God has done and what we need him to do each and every day. And the last part of this psalm reminds us, how do we proceed? We know what God's done. We know what we need from God. So how do we proceed from there? Verses 8 through 13 very clearly lays that out. And it basically tells us that listening leads to obedience. How do we proceed from here? We just listen to the voice of God. How often do you daily spend time to just listen to the calm voice of God? The voice that says, I've got you. The voice that says when a life situation happens and you go into freak out mode, God says, I've got this. I've got you covered. I've got the one that you're worried about covered. And when we listen to God, we're reminded here that that leads to obedience. And God draws us close if we obey him. And that is critical. That is critical in our walk with God. If there is obedience, we will be drawn close to God. He promises that, Old Testament and New Testament. Jesus preached that over and over again. You want to draw close to the Father? You obey me. You want to draw close to the Father? You follow me. You do what I do, you say what I say, and you be who I am. Be holy. Be separated. Be my righteous, my righteousness. And speaking of righteousness, we're told that righteousness comes from above. Verse 11 says, faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. All righteousness comes from above. All good things in your life that have come and are going to come comes from above. Do we lift our heads towards heaven daily and expect good things from the Father? Those that keep their heads down, those who never are looking up, they're the ones who expect another rotten day. Those are the ones that expect, I'm never going to get out of this pit that I've put myself in. Those are the ones who never look for joy, for peace, for happiness. You're not going to receive that righteousness until you look up from where all righteousness comes from. God provides what is good. And God promises, I will protect your steps totally. It says, the Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Basically, if we allow God control, he will come in, he will dwell with you, and he will bring us peace. Plain and simple. That is the message of this psalm. If we allow God control, that's the huge part. Revelation 3, verse 20. It's the last verse I'm going to give you this morning. This is a big one. Jesus himself says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. There is a huge promise there, even in Revelation. Don't forget to highlight it, underline it. Here I am, I'm standing here. He says, I will never go away. I will knock until judgment day. And for those of you who answer the door and allow me to come in, I will come in, and I will dwell with you, and I will eat with you forever. But we must be willing. We must be willing to open the door. Jesus won't barge himself in. He won't knock that door over. He will stand and knock for all eternity. But he will not kick that door in. We must be willing and we must take the initiative to return to him. Many of us are in many different walks and stages with God right now. Some of you need restored this morning. And as we sing our closing song this morning, ask for that. Ask for restoration. Restoration doesn't mean you're dead. It just means you need a little fix them up. A little more strength. A little more peace. A little bit more of something. Some of you just need to be reminded of how much God loves you. Man, get into his word. His word is covered in words, covered in scripture, sharing how much God loves you. John 3:16 reminds us of that. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. In verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. As we sing our closing song this morning, if you just pure plain need revival, if there's a part of you that may be dying inside, maybe your zeal to serve, maybe your zeal to praise, to worship, Maybe you're too focused on what's going on at work or what's not going on at home or whatever the case may be. Bow your head quietly and just ask God for a little bit of revival in your life. And see how much he doesn't grow you and grow you closer to him when you choose to obey. Whatever the case may be, let's respond to the word of God this morning. Please stand and let's sing Revive Us Again, I think it is.